हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीराद्वैतगराधर शिव सरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so how do you say that it's a great offense to find fault with one's guru and abandon him even if he drinks liquor and consorts with prostitutes? Garuda, Lord Vishnu's carrier and eternal associate, eats fish and meat. So this may be done by anyone in the mood of service to the Lord. Right? So the thing is Garuda, that is his food, you know. But the point is, it's just like, let us take like this. It's a similar example. Now, Sarabi. Right, we'd all agree she's a great devotee of the Lord. Right after the Govardhan Puja, then she came along with Indra, and there's a whole pastime there. We're bathing the thing. So what does she eat?
Grass.
Okay. So therefore, according to this, then this may be done by anyone who's in the sincere mood of service to the Lord. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so the point is they're just, it's, all it is why are they targeting these things?
Because they like them.
Right? Yeah, they like those. Because Hanuman and the monkeys, now there's the monkeys, they're picking up the tops of mountains and carrying them around. So therefore, anybody could pick up tops of mountains and carry them around in the service of the Lord. Does this make sense? Right? So this is the whole thing, is they target certain things. And what do they target? Really, specifically the ones, the four regulator principles, right? You know, they're not targeting something else. Well, the garbage man is taking out the garbage, so every sincere devotee can take out the garbage. No, they're not targeting these things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
No matter what nonsense a person wearing neck beads and tilak may have done, if he shows symptoms of ecstasy and kirtan, trembling, crying, and falling on the ground, he's a faultless and pure devotee, right? So they reverse this. Now you see, Prabhupada puts it the other way. He says, it doesn't matter what ecstatic symptoms they're doing, if outside of this, a lifestyle is they're not following the principles and everything, then you know they're a pseudo-devotee. But they're saying, no, it doesn't matter what nonsense he does, if he has ecstatic symptoms, then he's a pure devotee. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing. Because of ignorance, then everything gets reversed. Srila Prabhupada replies, quote, sometimes the eight symptoms of ecstasy, the astasattvika vikara, inertness, perspiration, standing of hairs on end, failing in the voice, trembling, paleness of the body, tears in the eyes, and trance, are imitated by the mundane devotees, prakriti sahajyas. But the pseudo-symptoms are at once detected when one sees the pseudo-devotee addicted to so many forbidden things. So the point is, one can say, no, but then how do you know which one's correct? It's two different opinions. No, the point is how is there going to be ecstasy, right? Because these are symptoms that are manifested, generally speaking, on the platform of bhava, right? So that bhava means liberated. So if someone's liberated, why would one be addicted to these things? Right? But you can say, no, but Garuda, he's eating, you know, meat. But the point is, he's a bird. You know, so, you know, you're going to make a whole trip about birds eating snakes. You know, he's an eagle. He eats snakes. That's what they eat. You know, cows eat grass, eagles eat snakes. You know, somebody's got to eat the snakes. You want so many snakes around? You know, if nobody ate the snakes, you know how many snakes there would be? Right? So, the point is, how you say, is God's laws of who does what. Right? So, the thing is on the liberated platform, why would one be involved in material sense gratification? Because otherwise, what's the service? Right? It means illicit sex and intoxication. What is the service? I'm saying the illicit sex doesn't produce any children. The intoxication doesn't produce any, you know, proper realistic thought patterns. So what's the service? Right? But at the same time, there's ecstasy from being absorbed in service. Right? So in other words, you can't have the mundane and the transcendental at once. You know what I'm saying? You have a devotee, okay, he's practicing Krishna consciousness, he has trouble with the regulative principles, but he's not manifesting ecstatic symptoms either. You know what I'm saying? In fact, as he gets more in control of following the principles, he gets more and more fixed and more happy in Krishna consciousness. Does that make sense? So you won't have two. You know what I'm saying? They're opposite. You won't have the person, he's a gourmet and he goes and he eats the finest, you know, things in the finest restaurants at the same time as, you know, when he, you know, he gets down with the pigs and eats stool. Does that make sense? It's not going to happen. So the idea is that it's not a matter of, well, it's two opinions and they seem to be opposing and opposite. No, there's only one opinion. Transcendence means not material. Liberated means not material. Mm-hmm. Right? And absorbed in the material means not liberated. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So actually, it's all rasa bhas because it doesn't give any taste to Krishna.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's. So does that make sense? So then the next point is okay, just there, but how is that going to give taste to Krishna? How does the sahaja, you know, taking intoxication or illicit sex, how does that give taste to Krishna? Right? Does that make sense? Because they're not even using the elements of Brahman and everything like that to understand that the potencies involved are Krishna. They're just taking it, going straight to Bhagavan, that this is Krishna. And so we're, it means if we do this like Krishna, then it's not different from Krishna. And so, because we're happy doing this, and then Krishna becomes happy doing this. But how would that be? If Krishna wanted to enjoy in the mundane platform, then what does he need you for? Right? You know, why does he need us to do that for him? You know? Does that make sense? So it's kind of like he can't do it himself? You know? Like that. So it's a very mundane, that's why the term prakrita sahajyas is used. You know, it's very, very mundane. Because you have the other kinds of sahajyas, if we're taking sahaj meaning that it's the material perspective. They can't distinguish between matter and spirit. Right? So when you can't distinguish between those two, that's your basis of the sahajya. Now the prakrita sahajya then means brings that spiritual. They perform mundane activities and claim they're spiritual. Right? So that's the... Okay. Even though decorated with the signs of a devotee, right? A devotee addicted to smoking, drinking, or illicit, illegitimate sex with women cannot have all the above-mentioned ecstatic symptoms. Okay. So it's also, yeah. So addicted means because they're in their philosophy, this is fine. So then they'll be addicted. Right? We're not talking about a devotee who's sincerely trying but still has some taste for these things. But it's not a matter of addiction. Right? Or if it is a matter of addiction, he's not manifesting ecstatic symptoms because he's just trying to, you know, get his rounds done in his basic devotional service. Does that make sense? So this particular combination is very bad. So footnote 6. So here, it says he cannot have all the above mentioned ecstatic symptoms. Right? Because the thing is we see in the pastimes, you know, somebody manifests one of these, and then you don't hear of it again for some time. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Like Dhruva Maharaj. Okay, his voice choked up. He didn't know what to say. He was stunned. And there were tears in his eyes. He couldn't see the Lord. Okay? And then the Lord touched him with his conch, and then he was able to understand properly everything, explain everything nicely. Okay. Now, in the whole rest of the story of Dhruva Maharaj, do you ever see those symptoms again? No. So that's why we see is that one occasion here you see the symptoms manifest, one devotee, another occasion, another devotee, another occasion, another devotee. But amazingly, you get the Sahajya, and all the eight symptoms are manifesting every time they have kirtan. Right? Somebody said, so something's wrong. Something's not happening here. Yeah. So that's why one cannot have all the above mentioned ecstatic symptoms. It just is not possible. Like that. Sometimes it means we see they get the pratibimba, because we have to underline is your sahajyas, there is the impersonal element. Because if you say I'm God, that's impersonal. That's what the impersonalists say. Right? No, if we're being personal, I'm not God, God is God, and I'm His servant. But if I am able to perform these pastimes of God, that means we're God, so it's impersonal. Right? So that means if there are any, you know, actual symptoms being manifest, they're not actually pure, they're pratibimba. Right? They're just a reflection, because Mayavadi is May, being in the kirtan, and being purified by the process of renunciation and all that, then they may manifest some ecstatic symptoms in the kirtan. But it's not a symptom of devotional advancement. It just means that they're purified. And so somehow or another, on the Brahman platform, the reaction of the name isn't quite great. Does this make sense? So then from all these different angles, the sahajyas aren't going to be manifesting. Okay, so footnote 6. In his book, Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur refers to such persons as swakuhaka, or self-deceivers. What they fail to grasp, he explains, is that Krishna Nama reveals rasa in proportion to one's being freed from anartas, or material contamination in the heart. Right? The idea is that how will you have ecstasy and have the mundane? How much space is there? Right? I can put a car in the living room, or I can put an elephant in the living room. I can't put both. Right? So this whole idea that I'm going to have all the mundane and all the transcendental, right? How you say? What's the quote? Best of both worlds, right? Like that. It's not possible. There is no such thing as best of both worlds, right? Because then there's two problems. One is that you're saying that there is some sort of best in this material world, right? You know, the dry stool is better than the wet stool, so that's the best, right? And two, then if you're saying best of the spiritual world, that means there's something that's not best, right? No, the spiritual world's perfect. Everything's best. So there's no such thing as best of both worlds. It doesn't exist. Does that make sense? So the sahajyas, they can't use this thing. No, we're having all the ecstatic symptoms on this side, and we're having all the material. It doesn't work. I mean, people may try to. That would be ideal. But it doesn't work. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that the holy name reveals himself according to how much you are detached from the material. As you're detached from the material, more and more gets revealed. Because the point is there's only space in the heart for Krishna or for Maya. Right? And in between, then it's part Krishna, part Maya. But it can't be fully Maya and Krishna. It means how much you're reducing the Maya is how much Krishna can be there. Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. You can't do two things at once. You're either thinking of Krishna or you're not. Yeah. So therefore, that's why we call them self-deceivers. So they're deceiving themselves. If they deceive others, okay, that's bad. But what's bad about them deceiving others? They make others into self-deceivers. Right? So they're deceiving themselves and thinking, I'm advanced, but they're not. Okay. These are, okay. Okay. What they fail to grasp, he explains, is that Krishna Nama reveals rasa in proportion to one's being freed from anartas, or material contamination in the heart. These are organized into four types, with the further four categories within each type. Anartas are four types. One, tattva vibhrama, illusion about spiritual knowledge. Two, hridaya darbalya, weakness of heart. Three, aparada, offenses. And four, asat trishna, material desires. Okay, so then we give all four. Yeah, okay. And then each one has four subdivisions. Okay? So now it's very important here, nobody gets upset that I got 16 things to work out here. No, the point is now you know exactly what you have to work out. Now you should be inspired.
You have more than 16 things, just the general.
Yeah, well, I mean, Oh, one thing I just thought of this morning. You know how sometimes they'll say science will solve everything? You know, religion can't? You know? Then, you know, two things come up. As one is that, so then out of all the branches of science, which is the one that's going to solve? Because it has to be one. It can't be many of them, right? Like that, because then, you know, it's like you take the human. So is it going to be the biological, the sociological, the psychological, the economic? You know, which aspect is going to be the one that actually is going to save society and make everything better? If you say all of them together, then why is it then that those sciences can work together, but the science of God can't? Mm. You know, why is it that that's the only one? Mm-hmm. You know, because they're only observing what's going on after the creation. So what happened before and what happens after, that observational science can't tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, then if they complain, well, you know, about this God. Now, science hasn't proven that there's no God. Right? They can't prove there's no God, right? So according to science, that's called a theorem. Right? Theorem means that which you can't disprove. So the whole of the advanced mathematics is based on theorems. Right? I mean, arithmetic is pretty straightforward. I have two rocks, and if you count them up, then you get four, right? Does that make sense? But a theorem means it hasn't been disproved. So therefore, they make the whole, I think it's calculus, is based totally on theorems. Right? You have all these theorems, and so that's there. So if you haven't disproved God, so therefore, as a theorem, that would be science, to accept God as a theorem. So therefore, then you could work on so many scientific things by including God as a theorem. That makes sense?
Yes.
That's why they are both atheistics.
Yeah, that's it. So in other words, they're not willing to accept this theorem, but the other theorems, that means then it's actually on the emotional platform. That means it's subjective. It's not objective. They're trying to say they're objective and religion is sort of subjective. No, they're also subjective. Mm-hmm. Can I say?
Yes.
Side point. Okay. So illusion about spiritual knowledge, tattva vibhrama, is of four types. Swa tattva vibhrama, illusion about one's original position as tatastha jiva. Right? So then even this whole big whole thing about where, how do we fall and this whole fight about it, it's very clear. Prabhupada gives a very clear point. And if that creates a whole riot, then this is swa tattva brahma. One is if we think I'm God, I'm Brahman, and so therefore I'm non-different from the Lord, or there is no soul, right? So the Buddhistic Mayavad, or I am the soul's the body, or the soul's the mind, or the soul's the intelligence. All these are Svatattva Brahma, right? Paratattva Brahma, illusion about the nature of the Supreme Lord. Sadhya sadhana brahma, illusion about the process of sadhana and prema bhakti, right? So this is also now where the sahajiyas, it falls in. Because they don't actually know one's position, they don't know God's position, they don't know, they understand the actual position of the sadhana. And virodhi vishaya brahma, illusion regarding subjects unfavorable to Krishna consciousness. Right? So there's the illusion about, you know, oh, you know, how you said that, the yukta vairagya, you know, element that, you know, we take anything that I'm attached to and somehow or another try to make it favorable in Krishna consciousness. So there's illusion regarding subjects that are unfavorable because we can't actually define what is favorable and what's unfavorable.
So that's also sahaja.
Sahajiyas are like that, but you can apply all these.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
Means it's not that these four are what defines sahajiyas. These just define material illusion, like that. But what we're saying is that they can't tell that all the things they're doing are unfavorable to Krishna. So it means, you know, they're complete in you know, four. You know, that's like their how you say, the shining star of illusion, right? Is that they can't actually tell what's unfavorable. Right? Weakness of heart, Hridai Darbalya, is of four kinds. Tucha Shakti, attachments to objects not related to Krishna. Kuti Nati, deceitfulness. Oh, okay, the Kuti Nati is here. I somehow know that I always thought it was the fourth, but it's within this weakness of heart. Okay. Does this go on, or that's okay? That's the end of it. Matsarya, enviousness, and pratishta, desire for fame. Right. So we see they go together. So now let's say somebody is, you know, has a bit of an ego and he likes to be, you know, appreciated. Okay, and then you have the other side, which is, you know, who is he? Why does he think he's being appreciated? Who does he think he is? Okay? Okay, so him being appreciated is number four of weakness of heart. The one who's criticizing him is number three. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So don't get involved.
Yeah, yeah. Does that make sense? And then these other two, attachment to objects not related to Krishna, then kuti nati, deceitfulness. Right? Because also kuti nati includes criticizing others. It's considered of all these ones who will read this, kuti nati is the worst. Right? And also then, if that's the point, then the sahajas being defined as self-deceivers, then it's actually they're manifesting the worst of all the anartas, is deception. Offenses. Yes.
Why not for
envy? Yeah. But it's one thing that there's feeling of envy, it's another thing to actually manifest it. Like I may feel something and then I say, well, that's not good, this is Vaishnavs. But then I feel something and then I say it. Then it's worse. You know, so actually criticize, because I may feel bad and okay, maybe, you know, I can go to hell in my own bucket, but you know, if I speak loudly, then you know, then it's a problem. You have to arrange all those buckets. You know, and what happens if someone doesn't like the bucket you arrange? They want a different kind of bucket, you know, so then it's offenses. Aparad are of four types. Krishna Sarupa Aparad, offenses towards the form of the Lord. Right? So the Mayavadis or, you know, the Smartas, all this, Buddhists like that. Nam Aparad, offenses towards the holy name of the Lord. Krishna Tadiya Aparad, offenses to the devotees. And Jiva Aparad, offenses to other living entities. So that's what Krishna Kapila Muni is making the point: if someone's worshiping the deity but doesn't deal nicely with other living entities, then that's not actually going to please the Lord, because all the living entities are part and parcel of the Lord, so they're also non-different from the Lord. So you have to deal with all the living entities, the devotees, the material energy. It's all Krishna's, right? It's not that you can go into someone's house and you deal with the one person you know nicely, but everybody else in the house you don't deal nicely. You don't deal nicely with the stuff, right? It's not going to work out so good, right? And then material desires, asat Krishna. Okay. Ahikesh Vaishana, desire for material objects. Para Trikeshu, desire for heavenly comforts. Bhuti Vachana, desire for mystic powers. and mumukshu, desire for liberation. Right? Mm. So these are desires for, and then weakness of heart includes the attachment, and then what comes up from that.
It seems they're overlapping.
Everything's overlapping.
Yeah.
It's just different aspects of the one thing. But these are the elements that you can identify and you can really work with. Because it means you have the element. In Sambandha, you have desire. And then in Prayojana, you have the taste. Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have those elements of these aspects.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So there's a difference. That's why the desire is one thing, attachment's another. They're basically the same thing. You desire something long enough, it turns into attachment. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. But once you perform the activity to get it, it again goes back to Sambandha. That's why then they're always. One thing being acted upon then increases the field, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you're envious. So therefore, then you speak badly about devotees like that. Then it will increase your desire for material. You're a satrishna.
Does that
make sense? Right. So you've weakness of heart is there, you've committed offenses. Why would you do that? Because of your illusion. Because you don't actually understand the nature of the Lord, the devotees and everything, what's unfavorable.
Mm.
And therefore you end up with material desires.
Mm.
So each one's, they're all connected.
Yeah.
So the point is at some point in the process, if you can catch it,
mm.
right? Because one part of the process may be too difficult for you to catch.
Mm.
Right? It's, the habit is too great or the, you know, in other words, let's say, one is just by one's social background. All you do is criticize everything, right? There are aspects of the society where persons in that particular social strata, all they do is find fault. It means everybody does it, but it's not necessarily they always do it. Their identity is not based on it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, of course, there is some element. Otherwise, why would you criticize? Because you don't criticize your own identity. Right? Like that. So there is something, but it's not, that is the whole thing. So the friends get together, then they criticize someone else, and then when there's three of them, so when one leaves the room, the other two that are left criticize the one that left the room. Then when he comes back, then somebody else leaves the room, so the two there, so everybody gets criticized. Does that make sense? So, that kind of a thing. So just that you establish your position, the way you talk, your talk with others, everything's about that. So now it may be very hard, therefore, this kutinati to deal with because of the practice. So how are you going to deal with that? Right? So you can go back to illusion about spiritual knowledge, increase your understanding of Vaishnavas, the Lord, the devotional process, all that. From that, through the intelligence, then you can get at the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Right? You know, so in other words, they're all connected, but if where one is strong, you can get at it from the others. Mm. Yes.
How can we come to the point of not speaking out criticism? I mean, we have it in mind, but not speaking, acting upon it. Can we put this on our own strength, or do we how to do that?
It means, but why do you want to do something on your own strength? What does this mean, our own strength?
I mean, I can repress it.
I mean, it's like you're moving your hands now. Whose strength is doing that?
The demigods.
Yes. So then the point is this, and how do you have the ability to move your arms? Means the demigods are doing it for you through the modes of nature and the planets and all this kind of thing. But why is it that you actually have the good karma to move your arms?
Good karma. I have acquired myself.
But how did you acquire that yourself?
By Krishna's will.
Yes, but you understand? This means you don't understand. Okay. By yourself. Who is the self?
Atman.
Okay. So the Atma got down there and, you know, how you say, took a few deep breaths and then really pushed on the arm, and then the arm moved. Huh?
No, the Atma doesn't have to do
something. Okay, so then there's your answer. So when you say on your own strength, what do you mean by on your own strength?
Krishna will pray to Krishna that he gives me the strength to repress the criticism verbally.
Yes, the point is you have to desire it. And then, therefore, then, that is arranged by the Lord. It's carried out by the universal affairs, but you don't have to worry about that. The important thing is Krishna. You know, like, if the minister gives his approval, you don't have to worry about the mechanics of the governmental bureaucracy. You get your result. Does that make sense? So the point is you know what result is there, you know where it starts. You don't have to worry about the mechanics of the middle, right? That makes sense? So you have to have the desire to give that up, then only it will happen. But if you don't have the desire, why will it happen? Right? Why will you get something you don't desire?
I mean, the only thing is that we get upset when it happens again and again, then we think, oh, we are like this, we are like this.
But who's the I? Is I am criticism? I am the personification of criticism. Is that what the soul is? No, one's conditioning might be. You know what I'm saying? Because there is a personality of criticism. Right? And he'll probably be in Yamaraj's court. You know, along with death personified and, you know, all the others. Right? Going to hell in a bucket personified. Yes. Does that make sense? Yes.
These four types of anarthas, can we say that Tattva Vibrahma and Hrita Idol Dorbalya is Sambandha, Aparad is Abhideya, and Asat Krishna is Prayojana?
Yeah, you could. Because you could then take it a step further. Mm-hmm. So it's the next step if you've done that. But you've made it into three, but there are four.
The whole thing is lesson.
No. Which one's which?
I'm not
following. It means your illusion about spiritual knowledge, right? Jnana and Balya, that's Sankarsha.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. And then
does that make sense? Then weakness of heart, that would be Prajumna.
Yeah.
And right? Or you could say is that the other way, yeah. And then the material desires, that would be your aniruddha, and your offenses would be the can. So it means they're going to be involved in that. Okay. Then. Okay. But it's seen that sometimes these symptoms are willfully imitated, and for this reason, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti accuses the imitators of being stone-hearted men. Because right? Something that's so wonderful and sweet and perfect, then they're imitating that as a show. So you'd have to be stone-hearted to do that. Right? They are sometimes even affected by the reflections of such transcendental symptoms. Yet, if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless cases for transcendental realization. Right? So we mention this. It is by the transcendent, sometimes even affected. So he's not saying it's totally bogus. They may even be affected, but it's pratibimba. It's not real. Because you can't have the one and the other. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yes.
We have some experience that when you mention to those kind of people that this is all, you know, kind of show, and then they accuse us of being stone-hearted, like, you've got no emotions, you've got no feelings, you've got, like...
Yeah, and then you just say, yeah, now what are you going to do about it? Yeah, or you just say, so?
It's like they reverse the whole thing.
But but we've seen the whole thing is reversed. Right? that they've taken spiritual matter and made it into spiritual. They've taken their position as servant of Krishna, and then they imitate Krishna's pastimes. Right? They're saying that it doesn't matter what the material attachments are, if the ecstatic symptoms are, they're advanced. So it's just, you know, pure mode of ignorance, you know, from top to bottom. Everything's reversed. Right? And then they'll see, the thing is they will try to use the philosophy on you because they know that will work.
Yeah.
Like that. But the point is, it doesn't matter. We are stone-hearted. That's why we're here in the material world. The point is we're stone-hearted, but that means you're also stone-hearted. Point is until you develop prema, then one's stone-hearted. Yeah, so then, you know, it's like saying, you know, dogs bark. Yeah, so? No, but dogs bark. Yeah. And then? You know, so it's just... They're saying, instead of getting bewildered as no, just in other words, take what they're dead, and then it doesn't have anything. You know, it's kind of like, you know, punching a tar baby. You know, you get stuck, you can't do anything. You don't know the tar baby?
Baby made of tar.
Huh? That's a very famous story. Yes.
Can we refer this to Atman Manyate Jagat?
Atmavan Manyate Jagat. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it means everybody's thinking like that. Yeah, but the point is stone hearted is that the point is that even if they are some elements of the ecstasy that they're getting from chanting the holy name, but the point is all they'll get is those external physical symptoms. So it's not actually going to be a change in the heart. So Bhagavatam, it's a change in the heart. So it's not a matter of actually being hard-hearted, because these sattvika bhavas are simply physical. So how do we know that there's a change in the heart? Because we notice that all the other things they do are still Hridayadambalya. There's still all the attachments and all the asat Krishna and all these different things are there. So how is it actually a change in the heart? So how is their hard-hearted, we define as material. But if they're within material saying, okay, there's harder hearts and not as hard hearts. Right? You have granite hearts and you have, let's say, pumice hearts. You know, like that. You know? Does that make sense? So whoever's heart is harder, then they'll say, you know, that's more. But in the material world, everybody's hard-hearted, because the point is natural softness of the heart is in relationship to love for God and love for the living entities. But here it's all about the body. It's not actually about the transcendental. Does that make sense? But the best things to these kind of people, you don't necessarily say anything to them, because as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that they are hopeless cases of transcendental realization. Yet if they still do not give up the forbidden habits, then they are hopeless. In other words, they're doing these things, but you bring them in contact with Shuddha Bhakti, then if they're willing to give up these things, you know, the sinful activities, then there's hope. Like that. Does that make sense? So they say, like the Namhatta, and they're preaching, they probably are dealing with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of persons who... the only exposure they have to Gaudiya Vaishnavism is Sahajya. But now they hear about Shuddha Bhakti, and now they give up, you know, they properly behave themselves in, you know, in the way of material dealings, and also then they deal properly on the spiritual platform. You know? So it is possible, but those who won't give them up, then they're hopeless cases. You know, because the thing is if you say yes, so we have hard hearts, so then, now what? Right? So now they're going to have to use some philosophy here. Here they just use some sentiment. You know what I'm saying? But in other words, you don't react on the emotional platform, then they have to deal with intelligence, which is not their, you know, their crocodile is not strong on the land. right? You know, like that. Elephants can easily step on them, right? So that's the whole point, is they're not strong there. So then they're going to have to be. So the thing, no, but you have to think, so how will that be done? You know, through the process of chance. So what is that process? So does that mean giving up material? And that, you know, so in other words, you can get at the root of their problem. Does that work?
Yeah. Yeah. So it seems like two kinds of sahajiyas are there. Some of them are professional sahajiyas.
Yes.
Those who preach and like they're not about to change.
Yes.
And some people just innocent, they don't know. As you mentioned,
yes,
you know, these people, if you give them, then they accept. But otherwise, some people are really like...
Yeah, well, those ones you avoid.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like your hardcore Mayavadis, your hardcore anything you avoid. Not that our philosophy can't deal with it. And not that by not dealing with it, then you're running away and all that. It's just a waste of time. Because, in other words, they can't deal with our philosophy. They don't have the capacity to digest our philosophy. Because there has to be some element of that innocence, that willingness that possibly or maybe. But here it's that they're just so fixed in their particular materialistic viewpoint that they're not about to change. You know, so therefore, those who are that convinced are always in the minority. Right? Even amongst the materialists, they're impressed if someone is convinced, someone is committed, someone is dedicated. Right? That always impresses them. So that means that most of your materialists aren't that committed to materialism. Right? They have the hope that they will be successful. But they're not. There is that element that, well, possibly it doesn't work. Because in their life, it's not really working. You know? It's not that, you know, he was sitting in his... on the living room couch, you know, the natural slump down where your head is on the back of the couch and your back is on the bottom of the couch and your feet are sticking off and he's got his remote. He comes up with an idea. He goes into his garage and when he comes out, he's a billionaire. Right? How many people do that? Okay? So, therefore, for most people, their plans aren't working. So if you can pleasantly explain it in a scientific way, there's a good chance that they'll at least think about it like that. But those who are convinced and that they're, you know, if it's really happening for them, then you can say something, and if it catches something somewhere, great. Because some people are just expert at things because that's just what you're supposed to do. In other words, if they're doing it out of a sense of goodness, right? That's just how you work with material energy. That is my position in society, therefore I'm supposed to do this. By the family that I'm in, we're supposed to work very hard, we make lots of money, we move in big social circles, we give lots in charity, you know, we have influence on how you know, the country works. That's just what we do. There's a possibility you'll get something through there because of the element of goodness. But if it's from the mode of passion, much less chance. And then ignorance like this is whatever you say, they'll reverse it. So that's one of the symptoms. If whatever you say, if you're confident that I'm saying proper philosophy here, and they'll say the opposite, and especially if it's emotional, then you know you're dealing with the mode of ignorance. Like that. So expect everything you say, they'll say the opposite. So the point is just find what's the opposite of that. Or take that point and then work from there. And then they'll have to say the opposite of that, opposite. They'll just keep changing. So after a while it becomes obvious that they, you know, or don't let them change. That freaks them out the most. So whatever, they'll always, as soon as they see an obstacle, they'll move to the next thing. But you just keep staying at that, like Prabhupada would do the Christians, you know, thou shalt not kill.
Yeah.
You know, because the point is there is a word for murder. Right? It's a very specific word. Kill is very generic. Right? You know, but murder is very specific. You know, so the thing is, you know, God doesn't know language good enough or something, or Moses kind of got it confused on the way down, you know. He did have to come down the mountain. He was really worried he might trip over and all that, or, you know, he was so shocked when he saw the Israelites there with the, you know, golden calf that when he went back to the things, he got it messed up. You know, something, you know, happened there that there was some, you know, it's like, you know, somehow or another, you know. So what does it mean when it says, you know, don't take your, you know, neighbor's wife? You know, so it didn't actually mean wife. It actually meant something else or something, you know, like that. You know, it means, oh, actually it doesn't mean his wife. It means what's ever important to him. So actually his car is more, you know, his Lamborghini is more important than his wife. So therefore it means don't take his Lamborghini. He can take his wife, but not his Lamborghini, because that's what's important. You know, and so in that one, then you actually get two, not his donkey nor his wife.
Because yeah, donkey is a vehicle, actually.
Yeah, so therefore, you know, there. You understand? So the point is so Prabhupada stopped them on that and say, it says kill. It doesn't say murder. You've interpreted it as murder, but it says kill. You know, because we can even explain, well, no, but if the Bible says all these things about, you know, this animal, this and that, we can explain it's not killing. Because if it's done in sacrifice according to the law, it's not killing. So the point is it has to be according to sacrifice. Right? But the point is it goes even beyond that, because we see all the different places where, you know what I'm saying? You just take it back. You just take one point and just keep moving with that. And try it from different angles. And that's always, then that way, otherwise, then they'll go on annoying you for hours. And in this way, you'll annoy them for 10, 15 minutes, and then they'll get frustrated and leave. So, you know, of the two, them getting annoyed or you getting annoyed, better they get annoyed. Right? That's the, I think that's the Chinese saying. Yes. No? Sure. It says, what is it? I think it's, you borrow money, you no pay, I get mad. You want to borrow money, I no give, you get mad. Better you get mad. I think that's the saying.
But this doesn't work with the wife. You start to argue.
That's another thing, don't even bring that up. That's what has that got to do with this? We're talking philosophy. Wife wants to talk philosophy, she'll talk philosophy.
My experiences, when they already have no idea about the Vedantic philosophy, is when you bring them Mahaprasada, this is the really appreciated most.
Yes, of course.
And that the change of their heart is really taking place. In that.
Yes, of course.
It takes time. They really appreciate Mahaprasada. I mean,
yes.
It's the only way. Prabhupada said it's the only way they can make spiritual progress.
Yes. See, there's a difference here. Is that the person is there due to the mode of ignorance, is doing things opposite. But the feminine nature is contrary. Contrariness, elusiveness, and shyness. That's inherent. So you can't connect those two. Does that make sense? In other words, the element of ignorance, you can connect it, that the woman is contrary. So the mode of ignorance is involved. But that's not the woman. That's you. You understand? Because why are you involved? Right? Yeah, so that's the point. So, yeah. A very significant feature of the Sahaja attitude is its perverse, quote-unquote, humility, which is really just enviousness. Right? So this is Matsarya. And then the others, yeah. Deceitfulness, then Kukinati comes in. Attachment to objects not related to Krishna. Desire for fame, because they want you to notice their ecstasies. It's not that they're trying to hide their ecstasies. No, they're getting right out in the front. So this whole thing of a weakness of heart is very prominent. quote, sometimes the Sahajiya presents himself as being devoid of desires for reputation, pratishtha, in order to become famous as a humble man. Such people cannot attain the platform of a celebrated Vaishnava.
Let me say that?
Yes.
Can we say that Sahajiya, they simply follow their mind? Because mind
is past that. Yes, basically. But they use the mind, in other words, their mental speculating on how to enjoy within the concept of a kind of Gaudiya Vaishnava framework. So you use that language, you use those activities, you use that basic elements of philosophy, but to establish and prove your facility for sense gratification. Is that make sense? Yeah. Right? Okay. So you're going to have basic elements are going to apply to any deviation, right? It means especially the farther back you get, the more it applies in general. But there's also the specifics of a prakriti sahajya on how they're going to apply their deviation. Does that make sense? Yeah. For example, sahajyas think that a devotee who becomes recognized for his preaching preaching accomplishments has fallen into the grip of name and fame. If a preacher refutes atheists and materialists, he is simply too proud. Right? So that's because their whole point is remember before, it was no need to preach. That was one of the Buddhistic concepts. There's no need to preach. There's no need for shastra. There's no need for, you know, authority or rituals or anything like that. It's just it's just about feeling. It's just the bhav. That's why I say it's the easy path. Because if it's just about your feelings, that's very easy. Whatever you feel, then that's the path. Hey, you're always on the path. So that's easy, right? So that's the... Okay. He is too proud. Harinam Sankirtan is too showy. Right? It's best to remember the Lord in the core of one's heart, right? They say all this about the preacher, but you start a kirtan, and they're right out there in the front making the biggest show, rolling on the ground, crying, making a whole scene. I mean, it's really annoying, right? You know, they really know how to disrupt the whole thing. And if you don't catch it the first time, they just get louder and louder and more rambunctious until you do notice. Only caste brahmanas should worship Shaligram Srila. If others do it, they'll fall down by becoming too puffed up. Right. So now here's a connection in with the Vaishnavas who are fussy about sadhana, insisting that illicit sex, smoking, and other harmless enjoyments be given up, are actually attached to these pleasures themselves. But even so, even if they are attached to them themselves, but they're trying to give them up for Krishna. Well, here, they're not trying to give them up for Krishna, so therefore, how is it selfless? You know, because that's the whole point, is that you're trying to be, you know, selfless. You're trying to be free from all these kind of things. So now, you understand? It's very, very poisonous. That's why these apasampradayas are dealt with, because they're so poisonous. Right. They just take your natural basis of philosophy and turn it around backwards.
Interesting. Harmless enjoyments like
yes.
smoking.
Yes, harmless enjoyments. No big deal. You know, it's just, we're not the bodies.
Yeah,
it's
just the body. Who cares if it dies?
Yeah. In this connection, sahajiyas abhor preachers who accept disciples, right? You know, unless they're, of course, caste Brahmins, you know, or like this. Narottam Das Thakur. And other, this is from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Narottam Das Thakur and other great acharyas like Madhvacharya, Ramanujacharya, and his others accepted many thousands of disciples to induce them to render devotional service. However, there's a class of sahajiyas who think that these activities are opposed to the principles of devotional service. Indeed, they consider such activities simply another phase of materialism.
Because they'll just take it as Dhanam Janam and Sundarin. But the problem is it's for them it's all about Dhanam Janam, and especially the Sundari part, right? You know, so that seems to be.
Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya 7:130. The holy name is all powerful, so the sahajiyas say, therefore there is no difference between Nam Aparad, Nam Abbas, and Shuddha Nam. Okay, here's another example. Yeah, so if he just it's all the same, so you don't have to worry about it. The spiritual state of a guru and disciple at the time of initiation doesn't matter, because the holy name works by its own power. Right? Means we'll say it's the power of the holy name, but the guru has to be representing. Otherwise, how do you actually, how you say it?
Chit potency.
Yeah, how has the chit potency, how do you get inspired? But here, they're not working with chit potency, so for them, it actually doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because there is only Nam Aparad. Because the if you don't have guru, how will you know they're advanced? You know, and how do you so blatantly get away with all the nonsense because you're advanced? So you know, that's the funny thing is they don't worry about all the other things. Why do they pick these certain ones? So it's just inherent that you must have guru, you must have this, that. Everybody does that. There's parents, there's gurus. So that principle is already there. It's a natural notion of the soul that one's power is coming from a superior source. It's just one. So it underlying it comes out in this way in us. Does that make sense? You know, the academic is his mentor. But anybody else is, you know, subjective. But somehow the mentor is objective. You know, all these funny little things. They're all just they're just little symptoms of that, you know, there's a soul present. So there's these elements that are all that you can become happy from something. You know, there's an endeavor will make you happy, and that endeavor is connected to that higher source, you'll become happy. So these are all just the inherent nature of the soul. That we get into that in the Tattva-vivek, right? The latter chapters, I mean, latter verses of the Tattva-vivek. Then it gets into what is the viewpoint of the soul on the transcendental platform. You know, not just specifically Vrindavan and Vaikuntha, just the basis on how the soul functions. If Bilvamangala Thakur became Krishna conscious by hearing a prostitute, then what can be wrong in receiving the holy name from a prostitute or immoral man? There's a difference between a prostitute and an immoral man. A prostitute, that's a job. A moral man, that's his ashram. Right? You know what I'm saying? You know, that's different. There's a difference between varna and ashram here. Right? There's no need to instruct anyone to follow rules and regulations. Right? So that goes back to the Buddhistic element. Let them chant Hare Krishna while smoking, drinking, gambling, and having sex. You know, what about, being a, how you say, serial killer or something like that, you know, because it doesn't matter. No one's the body anyway. But somehow that doesn't feature here. It's only these ones, you know.
You can say Hare Krishna to them before you kill them.
Yes.
And send them in the right direction.
Yes, yes. The holy name will cleanse them of sinful reaction. But then the problem is that the holy name, unless he's recognized and you're making that endeavor, then how will he purify? Because God's in everything already as it is. So if you understand that, you'll become purified, you become liberated. Because purification, that's bringing you to the point of liberation. Right? Developing love for Krishna, that's the other aspect. Just because you're pure doesn't mean you'll develop love for God. Right? A Brahmavadi doesn't mean he's pure, but it doesn't mean he has love of God. Why? Because the Purusha Bhava's still there. So he's saying harmless enjoyments, but the point is it's still the matter of enjoyments. So the Purusha Bhava's still there. So actually, how will they develop love for Krishna? So even if you say the holy name will bring you up to the point of liberation, that's one thing, but what about developing prema? So prema will only happen when it's all about Krishna. So in here we can see they make no distinctions. So nothing's really about Krishna. It's always about themselves. Yes.
Also the seventh offense that when you commit sinful offense.
Yes, yes, of course. That's what, but they don't worry about nam aparad, nam aparad. They just say if you chant, then everything will get better. Because you have the element is only by chanting can you even get rid of nam aparad. But you have to be wanting to get rid of the nam aparad for the chanting in nam aparad to be working. You know, there must be that desire.
But then it's all one.
So. That's all one. So they make no distinction in all this.
You know?
It's actually very tasteless.
Yeah, that's why Vishwanath says they're hard-hearted, because they're just, it's just like the Buddhists. There's no distinction between things, and so somehow or another it's there. So all it is, you know, just in their own bhajan, you know, there'll be some self-deception, but it's only when they get together as a group that then they can show off their self-deception. You know, who's cultivated their self-deception to a more perfect state, you know. Because I'm sure even amongst them, they'll say someone's, oh, that's a show, and oh, that's a, you know, like that. So in other words, if you had taken acting classes before becoming sahaja, you'd probably do better than one who hadn't, right, you know. Okay. It's the next point, which we'll cover on Thursday. It says, RSA. Though it is too lengthy to reproduce here, right? But that was in the original text, and you notice the footnote is, you know, the other.
Even the full purport.
Right, and it goes on to the next page. Right? Yeah. So it has been reproduced here. Okay, today is Tuesday.
Yes.
So normally we don't have class after Gaurapurnima, I think. Yeah, so then on Friday will be the next class. But then Friday we'll start all the three classes again.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll start all the three classes again. So go back to 7 to 8:30, 10:30 to 12, or 10, 11:50. And that, 4 to 5:10. Okay, so the morning will be the Jaita Dharma, the noon will be the Tattva Vivek, and then the evening one will be this, the Appasamhita.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki.
Jai
Chaitanya Gaura ki. Just in case anybody's planning something here, some traveler trying to work out how to get anything in or do something, there may be that somewhere between, Friday I can say exact dates, but between the 5th and 17th there may be no classes.
April.
Huh? In April, yeah, it just means this coming month. Just in place. Trying to plan that trip to Puri or
I'm going to Vrindavan,
Siberia, or, you know, wherever is important for you. There's a gulag that you just remembrance, just for old time's sake, wanted to get back to.